this morning, we'd like to turn to Psalm 119, looking at verses 145 through verse 152. I cried with my whole heart, "Hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried. I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness. O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgment. They draw nigh that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies I have known of old, that thou hast foundest them forever." In verse 150, we really have the background of this stanza. We see they draw nigh that follow after mischief. He's speaking, of course, of his enemies, those who have malicious intent toward him, and he says they are drawing near. He then describes them by their character. They follow after mischief, that is, they pursue evil, and that they are far from thy law, which means that they are, of course, disobedient. So this stanza, the psalmist, who was always aware of his enemies, he uses the phrase, "mine enemies," 51 times in the Psalms, and three times in the 119th Psalm, "mine enemies." So the psalmist, of course, fleeing, many of the psalms were written while he was fleeing from Saul, and again, he was very much aware of the fact that he had enemies, and that these enemies, of course, were, their intent was to destroy the psalmist. But here we see, he says, they draw nigh. So in this stanza, the psalmist is really in dire straits, and as he says they draw nigh, no doubt he is feeling some distress about that situation. And it again, as you read through the 109th, as you read through the stanza, you see that while the enemies were drawing nigh, while the psalmist is feeling this stress of mind, he found life, he found comfort, he found hope, he found confidence in two things. He found them in prayer, and he found them in the Word of God. This is where he found the confidence, the hope, the strength that he needed at this time. Notice in verse 145, he says, "I cried with my whole heart." He says in verse 2, "I cried unto thee." In verse 3, we see he prevented the dawning of the morning and cried. Now, he's not, when he says, "I cried," he's not just speaking of weeping. Many can do that, but he's talking about praying. He's talking about praying. Just crying will not necessarily remove your problems. It might make you feel better, but it will not remove your problems. It will not strengthen you. It will not provide you the comfort you need. But crying unto God in prayer, now that's different. And this is what the psalmist is talking about. So first of all, he found strength. He found strength in prayer. The enemy, is drawing nigh. So what does the psalmist do? What does he do at this time? He says, I cried. Not just weeping out of a sense of sorrow, but he says, I cried with my whole heart, and then hear me, O Lord. He's praying. Verse 2, I cried unto thee. I cried unto thee. All through the Psalms, we see David weeping. We see David crying. But though there are some who criticize the psalmist for that, what they fail to realize is who he cried to, and that makes all the difference. He cried unto the Lord. He prayed unto the Lord. So this phrase, I cried, speaks of fervency in which he prayed. It also speaks of the great sense he had of his need. The truth is, none of us will truly pray until we realize a need. And we, of course, need to live always conscious of that need. So he says, I cried. And again, throughout the scriptures, prayer is often described as crying unto the Lord. Notice in Psalm 34, and verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. It's talking about prayer. And saved him out of all his troubles. Psalm 61 and verse 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. Again, that's talking about prayer. And he says, what led to this is when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. So these three times here in Psalm 119 and verse 145 and verse 146, verse 147, three times he says, I cried. The enemy is drawing near. Those who seek to destroy him are getting closer and closer and closer, and he cries, which is a picture of a person in distress praying. And when in distress, that's what we need to do. We need to pray. In fact, prayer will not only should we pray in times of distress, if you pray before times of distress, prayer can prevent some stress. Prayer can prevent some distresses that come, that would ordinarily come our way. We see, so it is a prayer of an individual who is in distress. It is also a prayer from the heart. He said, I cried in verse 145 with my whole heart. What that signifies is that what he was praying was not just mere words. Many times, if we examine our prayer life, we will find that many times our prayer is just mere words, and that's all it is. They're just words. And the words may be very eloquent, and the words may sound very, very spiritual, but that's all it is words. That's not real prayer. Real prayer comes from the heart. Real prayer is the expression of the innermost being of our souls. And God, in many times, the expression of the innermost being of our souls, all we can express is a groan. But even then God can interpret and does that groan. That's a prayer because it proceeds from the heart. So you see, praying is not necessarily saying anything verbally. It's not necessarily saying anything with our lips. But prayer is the heart speaking unto God. Now, here in this stanza, we see that the psalmist did say some things. But he says, I cried with my whole heart. So he's expressing his innermost feelings. It also means that his prayer was very sincere. His prayer was very genuine. Many times when we pray, and if you listen to others pray, you know, if you know anything about that person or if you know anything about yourself, what they're praying really isn't sincere. They don't really mean what they're saying. It isn't really genuine. Again, it's just words. But the psalmist said, I cried with my own heart, with my whole heart. That is, it was very sincere. It was very genuine. And again, there's no sense in lying to God. God knows your heart. And God knows the expression of our heart, whether we express it or not. But the psalmist here says, I cried with my whole heart. That also means, not only does it mean that he was expressing the innermost feelings of his being, not only does it mean that he was sincere and genuine, but does it not also mean that he expended a great amount of energy in this time of prayer? I prayed with my whole heart. I cried with my whole heart. If you do something wholeheartedly, that requires energy. That requires strength. That requires stamina. And many times, if you examine our prayer lives, there's not a whole lot of energy expended. It's just saying some words. But God has a way of bringing his people to a point in their lives where they are brought to pray. And this prayer is going to require a great amount of energy. That's real praying. That's real praying. True praying. And you would think, considering the days in which we live, that we would see that this kind of prayer would be very common. You would think, as we look out at the perilous times in which we live, that it would be very common for God's people to expend a great amount of energy praying. But it's not common. It's not a common occurrence. But here the enemy is drawing nigh. David realizes the enemy is drawing nigh. And he says, I cried with my whole heart. It wasn't just saying words. This was sincere. This was genuine. This was with great intensity. This was with great passion. And then notice some other characteristics about his prayer. His prayer was directed unto God. He says, I cried unto thee. Verse 146. doesn't just say, I cried. You can do that all day long. But it says, I cried unto thee. It was a prayer directed unto God. You say, well, of course, if it's prayer, it's directed unto God. There's a lot of people that go through the motions of prayer, and it is not directed unto God. There is no way that it is directed unto God. They're just talking. There's no real direction whatsoever. It was a prayer to be heard. Sometime go through the Psalms and look at all the times that David asked God to hear him. Many, many, many times David pleaded with God, hear me. So it was a prayer directed unto God. It was also a prayer to be heard. There's no use praying if God doesn't hear. He says in verse 145, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. Hear me. Again, that is his first request, is that God would hear him. That signifies that he truly desired God to answer him. Not only does it signify that he desired for God to answer him, does it not also signify that he was looking for God to answer him? So I cried with my whole heart. The occasion of the prayer is the enemies of God are drawing near. So I cried with my whole heart unto God. I cried that the Lord would hear me. And then he prayed for deliverance. He says in verse 146, I cried unto thee, save me. Again, this is fervent. This is heartfelt. It is a plea to be rescued, which implies a few things. If you plead with somebody to rescue you, are you not saying that you are helpless to rescue yourself? I mean, if you could save yourself, you would not need to call on someone else to help you, to save you. So the very request, save me or deliver me, rescue me, implies a sense of helplessness. The enemy is drawing nigh, and there's nothing I can do to stop it. And when you finally come to the realization that there's nothing you can do, you'll pray. You'll either pray or give up in despair, one of the two. And again, that's why we need to live in that conscious, being conscious that there is nothing I can do. I am helpless. As long as you feel that you can help yourself, that's what you'll do. You'll try to help yourself. The prayer, save me, also implies that there is a sense of need, that there is a sense of danger. Save me. We need this. We need this sense of helplessness. We need this sense of need. And again, we've mentioned this many, many, many times, but people will say, oh, the worst part of it was I felt so helpless. Don't you see, that's the best part. And when you say that's the worst part, it's because that's not how you live your life. You live your life trying to control everything. You live your life trying to fix everything. It doesn't work. When you finally realize there's nothing I can do, that's when you'll just, again, you'll either go crazy and go into utter despair, or you will learn to cry out unto God. It was a prayer that was unceasing. We see in verse 147, I prevented the dawning of the morning. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried. Again, not just weeping, he's crying unto the Lord. He's already made that plain. And then it goes on in verse 148, mine eyes prevent the night watches. We see here, he would, from these two verses, he would wake through the night because he was distressed. The enemy is drawing nigh. So he would wake through the night. What would he do? When he woke up in the night, what would he do? He prayed. He cried unto God. He meditated in God's word. He would rise before the dawn. And as soon as he opened his eyes, there's his problem. It's right there. And what did he do? Just stay in bed? Just give up in despair? No, he says, I cried unto the Lord. I cried unto the Lord. This is where we find strength. This is where we find comfort. You notice also it is a prayer that was dependent upon the character of God. In verse 149, he said, hear my voice according to thy loving kindness. He was depending on the character of God. We have to hurry on. In verse 149, it was a prayer for personal revival. He says, O Lord, quicken me. So it was not just a prayer to be delivered. It was a prayer for spiritual stimulation. Lord, I need to be spiritually stimulated. I need to be stirred. I need to be invigorated. I need to be aroused. This is where the psalmist found strength, in prayer. But not only in prayer, the enemy's drawing nigh. He not only prayed, but notice verse 147, he said, I hoped in thy word. That is, I awoke in the night, I awoke before the sun came up, and what did I do? I placed my hope in the Word. He's praying, he's hoping in the Word. Verse 148, mine eyes prevent the night watches. That is, I find myself waking up in the evening, so what did I do? That I might meditate in thy Word. He woke up because the enemies were drawing nigh. He woke up because of distress of mind. And what did he do? He prayed and he meditated in the Word of God. And what is the result of all of this? What is the result of the psalmist praying? What is the result of the psalmist being focused upon the Word of God? The result is he began to feel the nearness of the Lord. Verse 151, he says, thou art near, O Lord. He prayed and he meditated in the Word of God, and he immediately began to feel the presence of God. There's strength in that. There's comfort in that. The enemy's still drawing nigh, but he felt the presence of the Lord. He found strength. But not only that, he went on to say he had greater conviction concerning the truth of God. Verse 151, thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. The more he prayed, the more he stayed focused in the Word of God, the more sure he became of the truth of the Lord. Didn't change the fact the enemy's still drawing nigh. But it did change his heart. He now has strength. He now has comfort. And we see in verse 152, he has a greater conviction concerning the stability of God's word, concerning thy testimonies I have known of old, that thou hast foundest them forever. So in this stanza we see that there is strength, there is solace in real prayer, and in meditating and hoping on the word of God. Now I don't believe that you can really separate prayer and the word of God. They go together. Don't tell me that you live your life neglecting the word of God, but you pray. I'm sorry, I'm not buying it. The two are connected. Prayer and the word of God. And those two things will give us great comfort. Those two things will prove to be a source of great strength. Neither one of them may change your circumstances. The enemy may still draw nigh, but they will change your heart in the midst of your circumstances. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we again, Lord, thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Lord, for many things.